Egunon, sail ofizialeko La Voz Dormida filmaren prentzaurrekoa egingo dugu orain.
Good morning. We're going to commence the press conference of the film La Voz Dormida, The Sleeping Voice. We have the director Benito Zambrano, the cast Ima Cuesta, Maria León, Mark Loquet and Daniel Holguín, and also the producer Antonio Pérez, and they are prepared to answer your questions. Please, can the photographers, our colleagues, please sit down, and a microphone here to the second row. Microphone, please. Could you raise your hand, please? Here in the second row. Yes, raise your hand. Well, in the front line. Hi, good morning. Hi, good morning. Congratulations for the film. The truth is, it's impressive on screen, but I wanted to ask the following question. Two questions. First is, the key of the film is in that sentence that the leading actress, the sister that's going to die, when she says, given that that the war was set up by someone, because the water, and that someone is underground and buried, because it wasn't a coup d'etat, but it was, they wanted to create a war. And now, going more from a cinematographic standpoint, an artist like Maria León and Ima Cuesta, do you know that you're going to confront each other in the Goyas here in Spain? We never confront each other. Sorry, start. Hi, good morning. Thank you very much for being here. And beforehand, I want to say, it's a great prize, it's a great gift to be here in San Sebastian, and for any director, it's a dream to be here. And then plus a magnificent city like this, it's our great and important festival in this country. Whatever happens, and whatever the confrontations that take place in front of me, that for cinema and for the culture, these confrontations have to be games like theater or cinema, and for us, I can say to be here is a prize in itself, and whoever wins and whatever happens, we're completely satisfied. Your first question is quite complex. I think that what the film wants to say, from that point of view, that wouldn't have happened. That, say, a war should, if it shouldn't take place, but it's stupid to say that human beings are unable of doing evil. I think a human being can do a lot of good and a lot of evil. That's the way we are. That's our nature. Why deny it? History has demonstrated this. And what art and culture tries to always do is to try to demonstrate that we can be better than what we are. And for me, that's a sense that makes me, and a feeling that makes me want to make films. And what the film tries to do is to demonstrate part of history, not only so that history isn't repeated, but so that we can learn something. And that war should never have taken place. It should never have taken place that Spaniards fought against Spaniards, people against people, human beings against human beings. It should never have taken place. It should never have occurred. But that's the case. It did. And it's not going to stop continuing to happen. Well, I hope it doesn't take place in this country again. So therefore, that's the sentence, the phrase of the film. And the man who's buried there, wherever he's buried, but he's buried, they say the dead go into the hole and the live have to keep on living. Well, sister, she calls her a sister, I don't think there's not going to be any confrontation between him. The producers, Ima is the leading actress, and she's going to be as a revelation, so there's not going to be any confrontation. But there wouldn't be in any case, whatever, okay, in competing for the Goyas here in Spain. Hi, I would like to ask you, having a delicate material in your hands, a film which is bitterly dramatic, and very sensitive and delicate material. I knew you had the novel of Dulce Chacón as a base, but did she advise you historically? I would like to know how you worked with the film, based vis-a-vis documentation and how you're advised. And Maria and Imara, I would like to ask you whether you felt like sisters straight away, and whether you saw a lot of family photos of your great-grandparents in this case, who lived in the post-war or during the war area. From the outset, Ima and I, we were sisters, and I think that's quite a good fortune. And also, Benito knew how to do this and attain this situation. Well, all I can say is beautiful things towards Maria, because for me, it's been a gift to find her. I've got a sister, and now I've got two sisters. And I don't say it in a figurative sense. I say it absolutely from the bottom of my heart. In fact, we call each other sisters, and I've got her on the mobile and a sister. And I make a mistake when I call my real sister, because I've got her down as a sister on my mobile list. We didn't have to work upon this, because Maria, from the outset, from the first minute when we looked at each other, we knew we felt like sisters. Emma acted as a true elder sister. Her experience as an actress has more experience than Maria, and Maria has felt really backed up by Emma at all times, and so therefore they've loved each other very much, and that's a gift for a director. This is one of the most difficult things, as you may well understand, to make the characters feel like they're of flesh and blood. And so the people that watch it believe that the relationship in these types of films is of basic, elementary importance, a key element. People have to believe it. It's complex. Cinema is a great lie to turn something into a great truth. So when the actors work along those lines, and they're not egotistic, they're not stupid, or they're not on themselves, for example, they work as companions. They always give and provide energy. They're always prepared to provide things so that your colleague can reply. And when that happens, the director's got half his job done. To turn up to the set and do that intense love and affection and respect between them, you can imagine. A film with so many characters, well, half of the work had already done. As of there, we could really do our work and construct the film. And as what you said before, obviously, La Voz Dormida, it stems from a great story, which is La Voz Dormida, The Sleeping Voice. It's a novel. And Dulce Chacon gave me a lot of support and at that level where we could construct the film. But a story that we're telling here, I needed to relatively take a journey just like Dulce did, with the fortune, the good fortune, that she'd already opened the path and she directed me quite well. But I needed that. I needed to know truly what had happened. I needed to understand what had taken place. I needed to try to get under the skin of all the characters, because the good and the bad, to know what's going on there, because we had to write dialogues. There are phrases that have been invented here. And a lot of research was done, because then I had to work with them. I had to try to transmit this to them, what that was, what the war was, and to help them. And a lot of the research work helped us so that they could understand it. The whole cast, a director constantly is responding and asking to questions, or what clothes, what decorations, or what, how is it? And we had to try to respond and create. And this was based upon all the research work. We were aware from the outset that to make a film in the Spanish post-war period was difficult, because of the difficulty of making period pieces in this country, because they're very expensive. The cars are expensive, the clothes, the wardrobe, and everything is complicated and expensive. But if we didn't do it right, if we didn't get it right, if we weren't to make it a film that was believable and it was clear and robust, the story wasn't going to be transmitted. So therefore, everything contributes, every element contributes something to the film. So the research work helped us a lot to make a film with the greatest amount of truth and clearness and clarity, and to not make the audience get lost, so that you could focus on the story. So we had to research a lot, very serious and very rigorous by the entire cast, to get to know and working and researching and seeking out material. And I feel truly very happy and content, because all of the work we've done appears in the film in one way or another, and that's what's valid for me. In the back row there, congratulations to the entire cast. Maria León, the congratulations on my behalf, and I think on behalf of everyone. I can't see you. I couldn't see you. The question is, Whether it was very difficult to play that role of a woman from Córdoba with a very marked accent, and the role was quite good. I loved it. And the torture also, perhaps, was probably those scenes were the most difficult parts. Well, I enjoyed portraying this character. Lovely. It's like, Pepita is like a box of chocolates. It's like a prize, and it's great to be able to. It's a marvelous pleasure to play this role. As I was saying, there was a moment, a tough moment during the shoot. There were a lot of tough moments. The torture scenes were probably the sequences that were less difficult for me. I would think there were other sequences much more difficult when I lose Hortensia, my sister, the moment that I was told where my sister was and she wasn't there, for example. And that was a tough moment, and that was very intense for me to portray that moment, and I did suffer a little. But I enjoyed very much working, especially playing the role of Pepita, which is a great gift. It's the perfect role, really. Hi, good morning. Congratulations to Benito and to the entire cast. I would like to ask you, at the beginning of the film, more or less, something is said, which is, if I don't recall, jails and burial sites are full of people that haven't got a party and have no ideologies. Do you think in life you've got to take a position on one side or the other? And another question, perhaps this is the film in which, in the Spanish cinema, that people cry the most, because there's a lot of crying going on throughout the whole film. Well, crying in art is good. Reading a book or crying, reading a book or seeing a film and you cry, that's good. That reconciliates you. You know that within you there's still a person who can feel grief or pain. And you learn. There's no more horrible thing than to read a book or see a film and not have felt anything. I don't like that as a person in the audience. If I don't like it as a person in the audience, I don't like it as a director. I told the story so that the people could go through this journey and this story, and I want it to affect you. If it didn't do that, why make the film? The other question that you asked me, well, these are very complex questions, because we could talk a lot about this. The problem is, if you don't take a position, people are not going to take a position for you. Life goes on. Life doesn't stop. And politics exist. And political conflicts and social conflicts exist. They all exist. Life doesn't wait for you. So therefore, unfortunately, and the sad thing is that in that period, or at that time, many people didn't have a conscience or didn't have a definition, weren't defined in their position. They suffered because of other issues, just because they were on the one side or they were on the wrong side, just because your mother, your father, your brother, your auntie had done something, or just because a neighbor was angry at you and didn't like you. And that was the worst thing about a civil war and the worst that could have happened in this country. So therefore, the research work that we carried out is that the jails in women's were full of women that had no political conscience or any political position. We're talking about a period in which a great majority of the women were illiterate, and the great majority of the women that were in jails were working class women. Okay? And it was within the jails something beautiful, something incredible happened, and I say this through the research work, and I was told about this by the women who spent their time in jail, is a lot of these women became politically aware and conscious, took a political conscience in jail because of they suffered. They helped each other, and they helped each other read and write. It's the only place where they talked about politics, obviously. In politics understood from a political debate was in jails. Nobody talked about politics outside. Well, you would say, well, you don't talk about politics. Obviously, politics was talked about. The country was highly politicized by one single ideology, which is the one that won the war. And it's quite curious that within the jails, they did talk about politics, and the communists, anarchists, socialists, they talked about them. They discussed, and there were debates. They studied, and they learned to read and write, some of them, in jail. So therefore, it was quite a curious phenomenon nothing was done outside, but and the women were relegated to the lowest position in society within jails. The women maintained the struggle and confrontation. And that was quite incredible what was happening in the jails. It was a curious phenomenon. And I do believe that we have to commit ourselves, and even more so if you're under, well, the obligation. Well, if you want to tell stories, you've got to commit yourself.
Hola, buenos días.
Hi, good morning. I would like to ask you, up at the back, Benito, this film is like Dangerous Liaisons, that is say, after the Three Roses, as many people would ask you why you made this film, what do you, because you've had the, why have you felt the need to make this story, because as a few years back has already been made in cinema, and I would like Luis Maria and you, which is a marvelous role that you portray, because it's tender, it's comical, and I suppose it was very difficult to maintain that balance. Thank you. Well, I think it's not really comical. No, I don't think it is. That character, I was fortunate. Pepita's a character who's a very pure. She's a girl who's got enormous generosity and who has a longing to live, enormous. And that's what makes Pepita make the audience smile, is her innocence, really. I put the ingredients, which were that of generosity and innocence, and was that the will to live. And Benito, he put in the fire and the negative parts, shall we say. So therefore, that's how I let myself go by the master. And I think Benito has a great talent, and that is when working with the actors, he knows how well to manage us, and with a lot of good taste and a lot of kindness, I must say this as well. Are we going to talk about a lot about politics today, as I see it? There are a lot of points of view. We can say that, how can I explain this easily? When I make a film, I don't know why I make the film. I know that I'm making a film when I think I can make a film, and I explain. One can't make all of the film one wants and when one wants, but when the muses eliminate you. I can spend 20 years reading La Voz Dormida, the book, and if I didn't find... To make a film, the first thing I've got to do is see it in my head. I've got to feel it, and I've got to feel that it's important for me, and that can happen. That happened with La Voz Dormida, like Havana Blues, and with Alone, and who knows what will happen for the next film. One doesn't make a preconceived film. Now, my next year, I'm going to make a film about such and such a subject. Well, some people might know the project, but for me, normally, when I got hooked on the novel, I got hooked as a reader, and I started to read it just like any reader who reads a novel, because I never thought of adapting the novel and at that time. And then the novel moved me so much, and I started to see it in my head, and at the end of the second part of the novel, which is when Pepita realized that her sister's being shot and she gets the baby, that's when the revelation occurs. That's when I started to think about the film. The first thing is, you as a storyteller, you find a way to tell a story. That's the way it goes, because there are many subjects that I'm very interested in, but if I can't find a way of telling that story, how can I? I can't. So therefore, that's why I take a long time, because until I find the way to tell the story and I find the script that I want to make, that's when I start to make the film. When I already believe in the film and I've got it more or less and I feel it in my head, that can happen now, that can happen in 10 years' time. If I'd have made those films, or whatever the subject matter, that's the point of view of my job as a profession. And when I address that I want to make this and what film I want to make, well, then obviously everything I'm concerned in, everything that's been made, the cinema that's made, what other films have dealt with this subject matter or this type. And obviously, the Three Roses, Las Tres Rosas, was made based upon another incredible story of the Spanish post-war period. And you think, well, how can these things happen? And it was a film, to a certain extent, that I didn't want to... The Voz Dormida, the sleeping voice, which is a project, because I read the book at that time, before doing Havana Blues. This, we're talking about 2004, and it was a marvelous story that I wanted to tell. I did many things came beforehand, and until now, we weren't able to make The Sleeping Voice, this film. I think there are many stories and films that can be told. The Republic, the Civil War, the post-war have been one of the most important events in the history of this country in the last 100 years. Very important and transcendental. And we still live and we coexist with everything that took place back then, because at the end of the day, we're made of history, we're made of stories. The future will come. The present is what we've got now. And this present moment is part of our history. So therefore, there will be many films that we'll have to tell stories about all of this, because we've got a source of information. And if this country has something, and the Iberian Peninsula, its history, not only the Catholic kings, but way back before then. I'm a bit of a gypsy, I'm a bit of a Moor, I'm a bit of a Jew, and okay. So I'm a mixture of everything, and this is the business I dedicate myself, and what I want to do is tell good stories. Okay. To move people. I'm not, don't remember part of the question, but that's a bit of advertising for me that I want. Just a little advertising spot there. Okay, a couple of questions for Benito Zambrano. The first is, bearing in mind that there's a lot of films in Spanish cinema that deal with this period of time, did you want to leave some of the cliches that you used in previous films, or that didn't that bother you? The most difficult thing in the film is to give the role to a new actress, and it worked well. When did you see that someone that could never made a film could sustain this whole film, and when did you see that she was Pepita, and why did you choose her at that time? Well, the first is the producer to leave so much money in my hands. That's when the producer's risking the money. They are the ones that place the money in my hands to make a film. It's not exact information. There are very few people that's one of the great lies that circulate among part of the press and a small part in this country of the press. If the films upon the Civil War the last 5 years, with one hand, it's a small percentage, so it's a great lie that people talk about the Civil War in this. It's saying that Spanish cinema is bad or is poor. The international data shows we've got a ratio in Europe to measure and prizes in international film festivals. Well, we're number one. The European Academy of Cinema is to blame for this, but it gives us this information that is to say there's a small, extreme minority that lies in this country, and they contain it. You're repeating so many lies, like Robert says, and people end up believing it, like Robert said. No, minimum. I'm sorry. It's not obvious. It's a great lie. Check it yourself. I'm sorry we can't hear this, gentleman. There's a small percentage, minority. Obviously there is. Yes, there is. But I'm not saying because of you, but I'm saying that people are saying it's sick and tired of making films about the Civil War. At the Republic, the Spanish audience, the great majority, the normal run-of-the-mill people, not the small percentage of extremists, to those people, they like see The Republic, to see the series in Spanish TV. It's called La República, The Republic. And they're interested in that period. And there's a minority, and we can tell who they are. They don't want people to talk about this. It's not because it's not historical truth, but it's because you can tell it's an extremist minority that says this. If you'll allow me, let's talk of running a risk with a new actress, a novel actress. Well, now, after premiering The Sleeping Voice, and it's a pity that I'm not anymore, I won't be called a novel director. I want to continue to be a novel director, but I want to learn as well. But I'm with the auditions, I'm a bit in the castings, I'm a bit of a pain in the neck, and I want to beg forgiveness to the actors and actresses. I recognize that I'm a bit of a pain, and I recognize that I'm going to continue to be a bit of a pain when choosing my actors, because the actors are of fundamental importance. If there's not a good risk, if there's no good script and a good cast, the film doesn't work. And I see this on the day-to-day, a good script And a cast of good actors believing that story, with that you've got 60% of the film made. Obviously, to achieve this cast, and I always thought the adequate cast and characters for those characters, I can spend a year and a half or a year and a bit. And I hassle them and I ask them for more auditions and more screen tests. And I look at the video book and I see their films. I do whatever has to be done because I know that's the tool I have in my hand. They're the tools I have in my hand as a director. If I've got a good story, I can't make a mistake. I can't make a mistake with the cast. And when I told Maria, her sister and me told her that we wanted her to be in our film, Maria, I was absolutely sure when I tell an actor, please, I want you to be in my film. Thank you for being in my film. I'm convinced there's not going to be any problems. Well, first of all, because things go round and round, and I have a great faith when the people want to work and do a good job, they're going to do a good job. And Maria, I had a great faith in her, in the character of Pepita. So therefore, for me, there's no problem with the issue of whether she's a novel actress or not. On the contrary, all the energy that she contributes, all the experience, this experience, everything that was going on, it's almost parallel to Pepita. Everything that she's lived as an actress is what Pepita's character is asked for to portray in that role. And that added up, that summed things up to it, to manage her to play the role. And you can see it from the outset, from the first moments. That's why I need the auditions. I have to touch the actors. I can't just see their films. I have to see them, look at their eyes, see whether we understand each other, and that's very important. And I insist upon the auditions because that's of fundamental importance. For the cinema that we make, the work of the cast and the actors is of fundamental importance, and the actors as the main tools to tell stories. And what you said before, well, if people ask, why make another film in Spanish cinema about the Civil War? Are we not going to make more films about the post-war period? Are we going to stop making films about our history? What part of their history can or we should tell stories about? So what do? We excavate the dinosaurs in the caves of wherever, and we leave to one side. You understand what I'm saying? What do we leave? What common burial sites do we not open if we find out that around the corner, in the period of the French, when they invaded us, there were 80 people in a common burial ground, and the next there was another 40 or 50, 60 people that were buried. What do we open? Do we not open them up? Don't we open up history? Do we close history? Do you want to close down our history? That's the question. So therefore, I think that we have to make films. What we've got to do is make good films and tell good stories. No matter what period of time, it doesn't matter. If we're talking about something about human beings and we're going to learn something, it doesn't matter what period we deal with. And that moment in time that we talk about, what we have to overcome is to learn from those previous films. Because I've seen a lot of post-war cinema and war cinema, and I've seen a lot of cinema of the Second World War. Because what was happening in Spain in 1940, what was happening here in Spain in 1940, which was something that was being reproduced in the rest of the continent, unfortunately. The bad guy against the good guy. The good man against the bad man, everything was happening. So therefore, how many films do we have to make about the Civil War and the post-war? Many. And every film that we make, let's hope it's better. Cinematographically, as a film in itself, as Buñuel says, the only thing that you can do is, a film can't bore you. That's what Buñuel used to say. And that's what I wanted to do, to tell a story and to not bore you. Then anyone can tell whatever story they want. In any case, what I'd say, I wasn't making a judgment value. If those films didn't exist upon the Civil War or the post-war, you couldn't have been seen them, as you've said. The prejudice is in the mind of the producer. I'm just giving you information which is false. The percentage, if you're talking about absolute terms, many films have been made. Franco was in charge of making a lot of them, but nobody complains about them. The only thing I said is that the percentage, if you look, check it, and it's checked, you can see it's minimum. With one hand, it's less than 5%, but police, American cop movies, it's about 15%. Nobody complains about the great enemy that we've got in this country are we ourselves. Okay, it's like it doesn't happen any other place in Europe, and perhaps our children and our grandchildren will be Democrats. But no, it's impossible to respect that we give a vision of a subject matter that people like. And there's a small minority that the only thing is to move their flags in the way. These are the patriots, but they complain against their colleagues in an issue which is good or as bad as the rest of Europe. It's a great lie. The Spanish cinema is poor, objectively, with the figures in our hands is a lie. And that data upon the Civil War is a lie. Percentually, from a percentage point of view, obviously many films were made, but from a percentage standpoint. In the last 20 Oscars to the best foreign film, more than half are upon the country of each warring country, like in Yugoslavia, for example, falsifiers of the Nazis. Check this, check it. We're not Martians. There are liars, a small minority, who try to confuse people, and perhaps they've confused you. That's all I'm trying to say.
Viendo la película.
Seeing the film, the tone that you follow, and the novel, was it necessary to include the torture scenes? Because one knows who the bad guys are in the film, the jailers, or the wardens, and the warders, that say, how does that... How did it emerge in the novel? The inmates know exactly what's happening in the 13 Roses, but it's not mentioned. Did you mention that intentionally or not, to not confuse the spectator, the audience or not? Or how did you deal with that? I don't remember why there are... We had to choose a lot of things within the novel. You have to choose a novel... like The Sleeping Voice, 125 pages of many stories, and it talks about a very important historical moment. So that way we had to choose what we had to talk about. So therefore, when you start to create your characters, you go to what happens to the – and the dramatic need that each character has to go through. I didn't want to refer to the 13 Roses. In a novel, it's easy to include these kinds of things because you can make the characters talk and include much more information. But in a film, in a novel at least, but in a film, you've got to focus upon what happens to the characters, if you can understand. So it doesn't seem that it's the discourse of the director that's there. Obviously, the discourse is there, undoubtedly. And nothing is naive and nothing occurs because it occurs in the film. But what happens is I didn't have the need of telling and talking about that fact of the 13 Roses from the outset, and I thought about this. And then as regards to the world of torture, to the torture scenes, how can I explain this? Within the research work that I carried out, and then we carried out with the people I talked to, if you could read some of the testimonies of women, not only the women, but also the men, you'll be able to see that all of them, the great majority, were tortured one way or another. That is to say, the torture that took place was incredible. And it was atrocious. It was almost savage. And these testimonies, to seek it, you should seek information of this nature. I recommend that you read it if you didn't know beforehand. So there were more than 500,000 prisoners in 1940, more or less, there was a capacity only for 20,000 inmates in the jails. The police stations were full of inmates and people in jail. There was an enormous amount of saturation. So therefore, I knew that, well, I felt that I couldn't not tell that or leave it to one side. But I needed to tell that story to transmit what was the situation of terror that these people lived through at the end of the Civil War. Let us say, in the summer of 39 and 1940, to transmit and convey what was really going on, what happened. I went a bit further than the novel in the torture scenes because I needed to place the audience in a space and time situation to know what was going on. That is to say, people were afraid when a policeman came along and they looked down to the ground. They didn't want to look at the policeman because I needed to tell the story because people felt afraid of looking at policemen, and I wanted the audience to feel that fear because otherwise I've got the impression that we're going to tell another story, but as if with a clean hand. with to see The Pianist by Roman Polanski, for example, there's a lot of horror that goes on there in that film, and it's quite incredible. Or The Schindler's List, for example, there's an enormous amount of horror, and those stories, as an audience, makes you feel intuitive of what that could have been like, that is to say, how that was all about, or what happened back then. And that's the work that's the main thing we've got to do as a director. We've got to get the spectator and the audience to feel themselves in that situation so that we can feel what grief and pain is for a human being, how this little girl does what she does, and she's afraid, and why she says, I'm not going to cry in front of a firing squad. So you can feel the struggle that was going on. I'm not too sure whether I'm being too clear. I'm sorry, we can't hear the question now.
Bueno, hermano, esa será tu película.
Yeah, that's your movie. I'm sure we didn't get the question. No, it's all well and good. I'm sorry, we can't hear it without a microphone. When you buy the DVD, author, take those scenes out. Edit those scenes out if you buy the DVD. When you're working upon a film, and especially the script, and you're doing the editing work, because the script of a novel like this nature, I'd have a four-hour film, the truth be said. So you start to value what's necessary and what's not necessary. Perhaps the film, you say, it might be excessive. I can understand it being excessive for you. But when you're working and you take out things in the film, and then you go, oh, I'm lacking this. So therefore, it's like if you've got a big wall and you've got a lot of paintings, you go, oh, dear, there's too many paintings on the wall. And you take a painting away and there's a stain there and you go, well, it looks worse now. I prefer the painting than the stain on the wall. So when you're working on a film, for example, I need this. And you go, what? You might say it's excessive, but I want to make a film that was excessive in the sense that I want the film and the audience to enter almost and feel that horror. Like as if you went into hell, because that was a moment as if you're in hell. It went excessive. Well, I don't know. But I would be rhetorical there if I did it in another way. Allow me to add the following. Obviously, everyone's got their own personal vision, and perhaps you think it's excessive. When we got together with several women who were 80-odd years of age, who lived in those jails and who suffered those humiliations, psychologically and physically speaking, and when they were tortured and put in jail, when you're in front of a woman that tells you this story, it's not enough. It's not sufficient to only see that there are a lot of barbaric things that took place. When you see it, I can assure you that if you talk to these women, there's a lot missing. I can tell you from the bottom of my heart, but that's a personal opinion, obviously. Yes, of course, but if you'd have seen and talked to those women who went through that horror in flesh and blood, it's not sufficient. It's not sufficient what Hortensia transmits, what happens to him when he has to shut up, when they torture his friend. No, 200,000 films, no matter if they're made, is not sufficient to honor the memory of all of these people. It's not enough, I can tell you. But then again, that's a very personal opinion. We're talking about very transcendental things. I want to ask a more light question, whether you chose the actor because he could say the word Chiquetta, he could pronounce in a convincing way the word Chiquetta. Is that why you chose the actor? Well, I suppose it was for, apart from other things, of not only pronouncing the word Chiquetta, but from the outset, Benito. And thank you very much from the first day when Benito talked to us. He wanted each of us to have a certain accent wherever we were from Spain. And we were used to, well, in my case, of doing a lot of serials on TV. And they always want to see you like a standard Castilian or Spanish speaker. You lose a lot of the good side of good things that the characters have. And he says Chiquetta, Paulino, because he's from Valencia. It's a typical way of calling a pretty girl. And that's what we thought it was quite valuable, and that's why we used it. Mark was there not only because of this, but many other things. He's the actor that I felt was the best actor to convey that other kind of character. I imagined him as being a young man whose fate would have been different. He would have been a teacher or something, or a doctor, if he hadn't have gone through the war, and a vocation as a poet, for example, someone who's very sensitive. And he became a guerrilla because he didn't have any other choice. But a tender person, and he also being present as well, being another character to tell the story that I wanted to tell. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. That's the end of the conference. Thank you.